Well, let's pray together as we conclude this sermon series looking at God's promise, how it's been perfectly kept in Jesus, and how Jesus promises to return. Lord God, would you help us? Would you encourage us as we think on these words from 2 Peter and as we are aware of your promise and our hope? Amen. Well, perhaps you've had the conversation in the past couple of days which begins, did you get what you hoped for? Sometimes knowingly asked by a relative who has had inside information about what was on your Christmas list. Today is the first Sunday of the Christmas season. Every candle on the Advent wreath is lit. We have journeyed through Advent, and in our sermon series in the past weeks, we've heard again of the God who is the promise keeper. We've heard what was hoped for, what was promised, and how that was met in the child of Bethlehem. And as well as hoping and waiting for the first Christmas, we have been pointed forwards too by the season of Advent, to a different longing and yearning of God's people waiting for Christ's second coming. The final talk of this series is simply called The Promise of Jesus' Return. So let's be encouraged by the certainty of our hope, even in the face of so much change and uncertainty around us. Today we'll see the disciples' hope is in Christ's return. The disciples' hope is a new day. The disciples' hope inspires Christ-like living. And the disciples' hope produces endurance. So first, the disciples' hope is in Christ's return from 2 Peter chapter 3, a little earlier than Margaret read for us from the first seven verses. Often when we use the word hope, we mean we're not quite sure. We mean maybe yes, but perhaps not. I have a hope every time the Welsh rugby team play, but that is in no way a certain hope. Hope is a word that we use to talk about a team that we support when they don't appear to be able to win, but we still cling on to some hope. But that kind of hope is not what 2 Peter is about. So do open your Bible to 2 Peter and to chapter 3. The disciples' hope is a certain hope. Even when faced with opposition, it can stand firm. Let's look at those opening verses from verse 3, in fact. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. The disciples' hope was under attack. It was being ridiculed. Maybe you've experienced something similar. You don't really believe in all that God stuff, do you? You don't really think that there's heaven, that there's life after death. In Peter's day, the charge was, you can't really believe that Christ will return. Look, things are exactly the same as they always have been. What's Peter's response? He says, really? You cannot be serious. He says, don't you know your history? Saying that everything is the same old, is missing the point. Look at the world's history. Created by God's word, coming through water to be formed, and then at the time of Noah, God's word of judgment, meaning that the earth is destroyed, it is the same word which brought forth creation and then judgment. It is the same word of promise, the same speaker who promises glory, that promises Christ's return. And his word can be trusted. It is being kept through history as history's changed, and through the examples that Peter gives, and in the prophecies of Jesus' first coming as a baby in Bethlehem. The disciples, apostrophe S, your hope and my hope is the same as the disciples S' hope, that Christ will return. And the yearning of the church is to say, yes, Lord, come quickly. The hope for Christ's return is a certain hope for restoration, for justice, for joy, for those who know Christ. As Tom Wright puts it, the royal presence of Jesus will be the signal for the great transformation in which the hidden reality of the present Christian experience will become the public reality of God's new world and his renewed people. Just as our history has been shaped by Christ's first coming as a child, and his death, his resurrection, and ascension to heaven, so history will be transformed again by his second coming. We're called again and again to focus on Jesus and to put our hope and trust in him, not turn to the left or to the right as we journey on in faith. It is the presence of Jesus that will transform the world, which will breathe new life into new heavens and new earth. Other things that we might think of today as being vastly important will fade, will not matter on that day. What will matter on that day is our relationship with Jesus. So we see that the disciples' hope is a new day in 2 Peter 3, verses 8 to 10. You know, timing is important. Knowing what time you're meant to be at work or college helps us prepare. Knowing what time the film at the cinema starts helps us not to miss the beginning, or at least to calculate when the actual film is going to start, as opposed to the trailers and the adverts and the more trailers and the more adverts. The disciples' hope for a new day doesn't come with a timetable, though. For God's view of time is not the same as ours. He is not about to put up a calendar with 2021 emblazoned on the front of it. Listen again to what Peter says in verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter says, God has not got his timing wrong. Rather, God is patient. He gives time for people to come to know him, to respond to the good news of the gospel. We as disciples are to hope for that new day when the Lord will return, and it will be the end of the world as we know it. But, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. There can be much speculation about when the world will end from all kinds of people. And sadly, there can be much speculation about when Jesus is going to return from some Christian groups. Scripture is clear, like a thief. You may have heard people say that COVID is a sign of the end. Well, maybe, but maybe not. Robbers do not give advance warning of when they intend to strike. So we shouldn't waste our time worrying, calculating, discussing when this new day will come. Jesus himself in the gospel says, the day and the hour is unknown. So the question that should spring from the disciples' hope of Christ's return and of a new day is not, when will that be? But am I ready? You may have had a list of things to do, even if it's just a mental list in the run-up to Christmas. What is more important for us as we begin a new year, even more important than New Year's resolutions, is to ask ourselves, am I ready? Do I believe and trust in God? Have I trusted in Jesus to forgive my sins and trusted him to open eternal life to me? If you haven't asked that question, if you aren't sure what the answer might be, if you'd like to come and talk to someone, then do get in touch. Christ's future coming makes a difference to how we live today. as the 17th century priest and poet George Herbert put it, "He that lives in hope danceth without music." The disciples' hope inspires Christ-like living, verses 11 to 14. Perhaps you've seen the satirical t-shirts and posters with the caption, "Jesus is coming, look busy." Unlike the popular sentiment that goes along with that statement, we are not just to look busy, but we are to look and be holy. What Ruth Rees calls holy waiting. For the implication of look busy, Jesus is coming, is that there are things that we should be doing or we would be doing if we knew Jesus was going to return. As our focus is on life with Christ in the future, we are to align our lives with the hope of that future now. We are to be inspired to Christ-like living, giving our whole lives over to God. Whatever your battles are, you need to work on them with the help of the Holy Spirit. The war has been won in and by Christ, but there are still battles and skirmishes that are continuing. We're called to continue that fight as we live in the light of that new day. Our citizenship is of the new creation, and we are called to live in the light of that. So lastly, the disciples' hope produces endurance. 2020 may have felt like a long year. 2021, we don't know how it will be. It'll be different for different ones of us. But come with me just as we close to Hebrews 12 and the first three verses. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." The message is devastatingly simple. Keep on keeping on. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We're to be encouraged in our discipleship by the great cloud of witnesses, of those who have gone before us in faith. They cheer us on in the way that, in normal times, the crowds lift marathon runners. Encouragement to keep going. Encouragement to get rid of stuff that weighs us down and to fix our eyes on Jesus. Our discipleship is about him. It's not about feeling good. It's not about belonging to a nice group of people with a similar outlook on life. It's not about being respectable. It is about Jesus. He has gone ahead. He is the pioneer. And he shows us how to follow. For the joy set before him, he endured. For the joy of the new creation set before us, we must endure. He endured opposition. We must stand. We're not to lose heart, as he was obedient to the end. So may your hope be in Christ's return and in a new day. May you be inspired to Christ-like living and enduring faithfulness to Christ in this coming year. To Christ, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, be all the thanks, all the praise, all the majesty, and all the worship, now and forever. Amen.